Hello and welcome back to A Life Economy, dedicated to exploring the intersection of technology, spirituality, and consciousness. I'm Cosmo Scharf, and on today's episode, we are joined by Etienne de la Boetie Squared, the executive director of the Art of Liberty Foundation, as well as the author of Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. Before we jump in, I want to give a quick disclaimer. You may find some of the information presented in this episode upsetting or triggering. I don't agree with everything he has to say, specifically some of his comments on voting and COVID, but I invited him onto the show because of his ability to see the bigger picture of what's going on in politics and our government. I encourage you to have a look at his book, which I've linked to in the show notes, and judge for yourself what resonates. So with that said, let's jump into my conversation with Etienne de la Boetie Squared. So that's a big claim you're making in the title of your book, and I'd love to dive into that and explore what about government, in your opinion, is a scam? What's going on?
Well, I think everything about government is a scam, and I should start out by telling your audience that I'm a voluntarist, and a voluntarist is someone that believes that all human relations should be voluntary, that nobody gets the ring of power, nobody gets to use violence or extortion or theft on anybody else. And when you see that happening, that is a sign that you're dealing with bad people. And the thesis of my book, Government, the Biggest Scam in History, is that government of every flavor has been illegitimate, unnecessary, and undesirable, and has essentially been a trick of what I call intergenerational organized crime to rob and control society. It was never really intended to protect life, liberty, and property. From the outset, it has been used to rob and control. And intergenerational organized crime, I go all the way back to monarchy. And monarchy was really the first government. And a monarch was someone that said, hey, I have through the divine right of kings, or just because I'm bigger and tougher than you, that you're going to give me a portion of your money. And if you don't, I'm going to hurt you. And when that fell out of favor, the monarchs developed democracy to trick the population into believing that they have a say, an influence in choosing who gets to rule them. But really, always controlling the outcome through a disparity of campaign funds, control of the media, their willingness to use bribery, blackmail, cheating, political assassination to ensure that power has never really, you know, passed to anyone that would reverse the control and the taxation and the theft that government extracts today. And the subtitle of the book is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Runs the Government and the Media. And what I'm also exposing in the book is that the government, from the monarchy all the way through, you know, the current times, there's been a partnership with the media where they're using what I call control of perception. And in the modern times, it's the monopolization of the media, and then, you know, of old time media, into kind of six major media conglomerates that are running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everyone the illusion of choice. And then on the new media side, there are, you know, about two dozen internet companies, search video companies. You know, this is Google, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Discuss the Content Engine, Snopes, Meetup, LinkedIn, and others who control what information that the population receives and is using, you know, algorithmic censorship, shadow banning, and a variety of different techniques to minimize the authentic voices of the alternative media. At the same time, they're magnifying the voices of the what's, you know, kind of come to become the mainstream media or the lamestream media. And so so that in the book, I trace that all the way back to the founding of the country, where you had essentially a couple dozen slave owners get into a room and declare that they themselves have the right to rule everyone, to make up rules for everybody and steal the wealth of others. And then they had their newspapers proclaim that it was valid. And we've been under that system the entire time. It is now becoming obvious that this media system, this media control system exists. And this is the reason why most people have never heard of voluntarism, and they've never, ever heard anyone on the mainstream media talking about the fact that government in and of itself is illegitimate, unnecessary, and undesirable. And the big secret of voluntarism is the world is a self-organizing system where everything the government does could be done better by the free market, by private security companies, private road companies, real charities, without the theft, force, and fraud of monopoly government.
Wow. So there's a lot to unpack there. And this information really, there's a wide breadth of information, right? You cover a lot of different topics. One of which is this illusion of choice. Can you get into that a little bit with respect to the election and maybe the media and how, you know, I guess I'll back up and just say, you know, we're so caught up in this red versus blue paradigm, right? Who's going to win the next election? That, you know, what's so interesting about the perspective that you're bringing is you're really questioning the whole system. You're zooming out from the board game and you're like, well, this whole paradigm is flawed, and it's actually more than flawed. It's you're being very straight. You're saying it's organized crime. So how important is this illusion of choice in the success of this current system of government?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's go back to first principles, and I want to prove the case to the audience right off the bat that it is absolutely impossible to have a legitimate government. The root word of government is gubernare, which is a Latin term to govern or control, and mente is the mind. So to govern or control the mind, mind control. Entertainment, by the way, is a Latin phrase that is enter, to enter. Tain means to hold or possess, and mente is the mind. So enter the mind and hold it and possess it long enough to show you a commercial, usually for a politician in the election season, which we're all seeing, you know, right now. But that gubernare mente program starts with controlling the information that you receive from birth through mandatory government schools, where people are taught, and even if you went to private school here in the United States or elsewhere on the planet, most of the private schools are forced to, you know, adhere to the government curriculum in order for them to be accredited. And so even if it's a private school, you might have a smaller class size, you might have, you know, more option on, you know, electives and things like that. You might have higher quality teachers. But at the end of the day, you know, through textbook amalgamation and tradition and, you know, and this accreditation process, even the private schools are forced to teach the legitimacy of government. And so what I want to do just before we even get started is kind of prove to the audience just right off the bat that it's absolutely impossible to have a legitimate government. And so if you know, go by the kind of the these, you know, stories that were told in the government school, George Washington can't tell a lie, chop down the cherry tree, these, you know, kind of myths that were given, you got a couple dozen slave owners that went into on a continent of 3 million people that go into a room and sign on a piece of paper that they alone get to make up rules for everyone and steal the wealth of others. And, you know, I hope, you know, when you kind of break it down like that, that exposes some of the ridiculousness of the idea. But even if you break it down further, the idea that we, the people, delegated the right to government to rob and control the population is absurd on its face, because I, as an individual, do not have the right to make up rules for Cosmo or steal Cosmo's money or do any of the other things that government does. So it's absolutely impossible for me to delegate a right I do not possess myself to a representative to represent me doing something that I do not have the moral ability to do myself. You can't be bound by a social contract that you didn't sign. And the idea of democracy is really ridiculous. It's two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. And for the same reason that it would be immoral if you and Summer, you know, voted for me to give y'all all of my money, It doesn't matter if there's three people or four people or six people or 250 million people that say it's okay that we get to rob Howard. That's still going to be immoral. There's no magic number of additional people that take something that is inherently immoral and makes it moral just because some people choose to vote for the government in an election. And so for the same reason that it's wrong when the mob, Lynch robbed Peter to pay Paul, even if the mob votes to have an institution work on its behalf and they all wear fancy hats and have fancy titles and write down their legislation on fancy pieces of paper, when you break it down to just, you know, the basics of morality, it's illegitimate on itself. And, you know, if anybody is questioning that, then I would, you know, encourage them to kind of think to yourself and say, well, how do I delegate rights? If I myself don't have the ability to do these things personally, then right. How did we, the people, delegate them to the government? And, you know, you'll quickly, you know, come to the realization that it's impossible, that it's not moral at all. And we can see the results of what that looks like in society with, you know, the issues that we're having today. Now, both sides of the government, the Republicans and the Democrats, are at the top 100% in on this game. And this is just a television show that is being put on for the tax slaves that gives wow. them the illusion of choice, the illusion of representation, the illusion that their vote makes a difference and that their support for this candidate or that candidate is going to have some kind of outcome in the election. But if you really, really think about it, the Republicans and the Democrats are absolutely 100% lockstep united on everything that is important to the ruling class. So they're 100% united on taxation, the legitimacy of taxation. They're 100% united on a private central bank allowing these money center banks to create money out of thin air in a process known as fractional reserve banking, where banks get to loan money that they don't have, even though that is inflationary, and even though that is stealing the value out of everyone else's money that they earn and they save. They're all united in, you know, every war that we've essentially been in. They've all been united in all of the big issues, and they're only divided really on the football issues, abortion, gay rights, things that you know will inflame their base. And so what they've done is they've separated the population into these two largest demographic groups that they can get to, you know, to oppose each other, to make it look to trick the population into going back and forth. Oh, we're going to throw the bums out this year, but right. you know, it's like a worldwide wrestling match where the blue team tags out with the red team. The red team yeah. comes in for it's 4 years and then they tag out again. And they're united by the media. And the media, as I mentioned, I'll take your viewers through some media ownership charts here in a little bit. You've got a monopoly media, six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give you the illusion of diversity of information sources, but that are operating as a cartel and selling you the impossible story of COVID or the impossible story of 9/11 or the story that we were attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin or, you know, Kuwaiti babies tossed out incubators or whatever the lie of the day is. You know, it really is, you know, they're all united. Every single channel, government is legitimate, government is legitimate, government is legitimate. And you never, ever, ever get to hear this opposing view that it's all illegitimate on its face and that it's intergenerational organized crime using these techniques that are in some cases hundreds of years old, in some cases thousands of years old, to rob and control the population.
Wow. Thank you for that. And you know, you have a very skillful way of breaking some of these concepts down, or really explaining how ridiculous some aspects of the government are in a way that is quite, it sort of like hits you like a ton of bricks. You're like, oh, whoa. And I think a big way that you've been able to communicate that is through, some of the imagery in your book. And so I'd love to get into that, because I think that really will help people connect the dots here. And at least for me, this was really powerful how you've been able to, okay, let's go here. Have you been able to, you know, compare some of the cult indoctrination techniques used in America to the ones used in East Germany, Nazi Germany, and the Soviet Union? So, yeah. You know, it's a big PDF. We don't obviously have time to go through the whole thing, but let's focus on some of the highlights here.
Absolutely. So the book is Government, the Biggest Scam in History. It's in its fourth edition, its eighth printing. It's been professionally fact-checked, professionally edited, and it's supported by 16 gigabits of information that you can get on a credit card-sized flash drive. But what I want to do for the audience is really take them through the first part of the book. And the first part of the book is where I take a look at 20 different techniques used by intergenerational organized crime to create the culture of slavery and tax slavery, and show how it manifested in each time and place. And so what I do is, in the black section, I explain what the technique is, and then I show what it looked like in Nazi Germany, the U.S. government, the Soviet Union, and East Germany. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I pick these is that these are three, you know, absolutely, the, you know, everybody agrees that these are all evil regimes that did evil things to their population. So if the U.S. government is using the exact same techniques, then it's the exact same system. And the big secret is that they're indoctrinating the population with a pseudo-religion known as statism. And statism is the belief in the desirability, the legitimacy, and the necessity of having a government, even though there's no iron law of the universe that says that you have to have a government. Everybody could be free on the earth and living freely, whatever. And if somebody, you know, came along and said, hey, we should give a small minority of people the ability to use violence and control us and do what they want, well, that would sound, you know, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the same way that the fish doesn't understand that he's living in water, because they've been controlling perception and controlling the information people use through mandatory schools and scouting programs and things like that, people have never, you know, really questioned it. But the big secret is the government is sliding the population a hidden religion. They're not calling it a religion, but they're using all the tools and the techniques of an unethically manipulative cult or unethically manipulative religion. And it starts with the flag, which is essentially an artificially indoctrinated holy symbol. And they're product placing that flag into television shows, movies, and they're using a technique called anchoring. And anchoring is they'll build the population up to a moment of high, you know, they'll build you up to a moment of high positive emotion, and then they'll show you the flag. And the best example, and if you have the PDF version of the book, which is available free at government-scam.com, you can actually click through and you can see a clip from the movie The Martian, where Matt Damon is escaping Mars and there's a big buildup. And is he going to make it? Oh, he's not going to make it. And no, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. Boom. And then they cut to Earth and everybody's waving American flags. And then they cut to Mission Control and there's giant American flags on the, you know, the backdrop. And so the propagandist has built you up to this moment of high positive emotion, and then they show you the flag. And that's the reason why the NBA has the flag on the backboard, so that you associate it, the exhilaration of the goal with the flag. That's why the NFL has the flag on the helmets, where the players are forbidden to remove them. And next time you're watching a football game, watch right after the touchdown, they'll cut to somebody in the audience in a military uniform, or they'll cut to somebody in the audience waving a flag. And so they've been your entire life. If you did not realize this going on, that this was going on, you probably have this really warm and fuzzy feeling to the flag. And almost in some cases, you know, when you see people, you know, decorating their vehicles and decorating their homes and putting them outside, you really, you know, once you understand these techniques, you understand kind of like why they're, you know, why they may have that. All of these regimes have a social contract that nobody signed, but everybody is expected to be a party to. They all have mandatory government schools employing something called the Prussian model of education, which was openly developed to indoctrinate obedience and fealty and adoration to king, country, and government. So we're going to get the kids, we're going to get them while they're young, we're going to put them into these mandatory government schools, and we're going to have them do, you know, common prayer, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to have them sing hymns, you know, during the sporting events. We're going to, you know, run a hidden curriculum on them. Part of the hidden curriculum is statism. Part of it is obedience, and part of it is debilitation, you know, where they're not given, you know, they're not given the basic tools of logic to understand, you know, what, you know, why something is true or why something isn't true. And so the mandatory government school is really the first step of indoctrinating you into this cult, where you believe that it's legitimate that this group gets to rule you. Now, the program has the regular, you know, if you just go through the government school, you come out kind of like as a taxpayer who's willing to tithe, you know, a portion of your income to the cult. But the program needs something that's called order followers. And order followers are those that are willing to set their morality aside and use violence, either going abroad and murdering people in foreign lands, mm-hmm. you know, to steal resources, or, you know, having, you know, police officers that are willing to use violence, you know, to enforce victimless crimes or to raise revenue on their friends and their neighbors. And so there's another, you know, side of the program where all of these, you know, regimes have had youth programs that teach citizenship, where now the kids get awards for, you know, displaying their obedience. And this is how you worship the flag, and this is how you fold the flag, and this is how you crest the flag. And when the flag gets old, we don't throw it away. No, it's a holy object. We have to bury it. And then they put you in the uniform, the single form. They begin teaching you hierarchical ability, you know, hierarchical obedience to authority. And military and police tend to come out the other side. And so this is now the program gets creepy as the kids get older, and as the kids get older, now we're going to militarize the kids. So now we're going to shave their heads. We're going to put them into JROTC, ROTC, police or military explorers, young Marines, DOD Starbase. There's just, you know, a variety of different programs where now the kids get uniforms, and they get, you know, special treatment, and they get, you know, if they go to college, they get a stipend, and they get, and, you know, now they're given guns and they're taught how to kill. And so then pledges and oaths, you know, everybody knows the Pledge of Allegiance. You probably mm-hmm. didn't know that the Nazis and the Soviets and the East Germans have, you know, running the exact same game on their population. And all of these countries have artificially glorified the military and the police. And any place in the book where you see a hypertext link, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but all of this flag worship and military worship at the stadium events and the football games and the hockey games and the NBA games, all of that is artificial. The government was caught paying over $53 million a year a couple of years ago. I don't know what it is now, to have the flyovers and to have the, you know, the flag worship ceremonies. And that is really, you know, one of the hallmarks of the artificiality of the system, is that the government has to pay, you right. know, the sports teams and the television stations to run the video news releases and run the, you know, to do the propaganda.
Real quick, if you could just mind just going back, that the part about the preferred parking and the prioritized boarding at the airport, that part stood out to me because it was something that I sort of, you know, just took for granted as like, oh yeah, you know, they're the military, like they get this like special treatment. But then when I see it in the context that you're placing it in as like, well, really this is all a strategy to validate and glorify people that support the government, you know, the order followers, as you're calling them. It's quite a different perspective.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I have friends that are in, you know, that are in the military, and I've got friends and family that are in the military, and I've got friends that are veterans. And I don't know, and I say it with love, and I don't know any other way than to yank the Band-Aid off, you know, and expose it for what it is. But, you know, these, you know, have been these, you know, people that go, they often go in for, you know, with the best of intentions.
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of them, they renounce, you know, that you've seen them throw their medals over the White House fence when they realize what they're being used for, and that there's nothing heroic in participating in an army of occupation that is invading and occupying foreign lands, frequently based on, you know, lies and manufactured intelligence. And so the, you know, there's just no way to sugarcoat it. Like I said, I say it with love, but this is the program that they've been in. And I fell for it too. I mean, I would like hook, line, sinker. I was a Cub Scout. I was a Boy Scout. I went to government schools. Somebody opened my eyes, and then hopefully I'm doing the, you know, the same favor and opening other people's eyes. Just to keep going, they all use political rallies and politician worship. So what they're doing is they're, you know, the political rally is using spectacle and neuro-linguistic programming, speech techniques, and the flag, and really creating something that's akin to like a religious revival for the faithful. And the participants, they frequently engage in worship of the artificially created political savior, not understanding that the system is leveraging this knowledge of human psychology to exploit most, but not all humans' biological desire to have a leader or a father figure.
Right.
And so, and to be inclusion in the artificially created tribe. And when I say artificially created tribe, i.e. country, you know, there's not that much that somebody that's living in Alaska has in common with somebody that's living in Florida, and the average person in California doesn't have a lot in common with the average person in Massachusetts or South Dakota, North Dakota, you know, and so really it's the thing that you, you know, that was supposed to unite us is freedom and liberty. But that has been an illusion, because if you think about it, we don't really have any freedom. We don't have any liberty. What we have is we've got you either pay half of your income in overt taxes, covert taxes, and inflation, or we're going to hurt you. And that's not liberty, and that's not freedom. And so I'd rather not have a country than have one where everyone is a tax slave. They all use propaganda. Again, here's a, you know, a key link to follow: CIA and DOD, 800 plus movies, 1,000 plus television shows. This is why the government is always the hero, whether that is an FBI agent, a CIA agent, Tom Cruise, you know, the government, you know, they're always ripped. They always come in. They always save the day at like the last minute. You know, it's the president of the United States flying fighter jets to protect the country against invading aliens. And we've really just, you know, we've grown up in this kind of soup of propaganda, and you never really notice it. Unless somebody points it out to you, and then once you notice it, now you're going to see it all the time. Every show, the government is the hero. Every show, the government saves the day from these terrorists that are out to get us. And you know, once you realize that they're, you know, using the media and propaganda to create this artificial, you know, culture and menace everybody with these, you know, imaginary enemies, you know, everything is going to make much, much more sense. They all use manufactured news and overt or surreptitious control of publishers, editors, and reporters to create an artificial reality. In a little bit, I'm going to show you a bigger picture of this, a bigger view of this chart. But this is one of the charts that show, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of media organizations that are essentially, whose membership is essentially rolling up into three organizations: the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission. Jeffrey Epstein was a member of all three of these organizations. And so this is how they're able to give the media their marching orders to sell the scam of 9/11 or COVID or whatever it is. And what I'm doing with these visualizations is I'm making something that was invisible now visible, so you can see it and you come to the understanding of why you see COVID on every, you know, channel, or how they're able to, you know, perpetrate kind of like the scam of the day. And again, mm-hmm. all of these regimes are using essentially the exact same techniques. They all use manufactured terrorism. And so they're uniting the population behind the government to protect them against the manufactured external enemies. Okay, we're going to do things like 9/11 to make you think there's terrorist boogeymen, and that we've got to have trillion, we got to hand the government trillions of, you know, of dollars to Homeland Security spending to protect us for the imaginary boogeymen that they created themselves. They all use false flag events, manufactured intelligence, and lies to start war. This is Kuwaiti babies tossed from incubators, the Downing Street memo, you know, 9/11, Libyan troops raping women on Viagra. You know, it goes back to World War I with babies on bayonets. They're creating events to get us into war. They admit the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. They admitted that they lied. I mean, the government itself admits that they created, they lied about the reason to get us, you know, fully enmeshed in Vietnam. It continues today. Awesome. They all use the secret government, and the real power structure uses political assassination of rivals, whistleblowers, and dissidents. And so this list right here, you can, you know, click through to get, you know, to see more information. But, you know, like I said, the reason, you know, that one of the reasons that they're on top is they're willing to do things that other people aren't, including, you know, political assassination and murder of rivals and whistleblowers and dissidents. On this list is Jeffrey Epstein, but also Thomas Bowers, who was both President Trump and Epstein's private banker, who died shortly after Jeffrey Epstein. And so, you know, whether it's Vince Foster, the Clinton body count, you know, I've tried to link to the best evidence of some of the most high, the highest profile political murders and assassinations, you know, showing government involvement, frequently intelligence agency involvement, or cover up, you know, in the act. They all have political temples dedicated to the state and its deities. And so they're sliding the population of religion. They're not calling it a religion, but they're using all the tools and techniques of a religion. And what they do is typically in middle school, they bring eighth graders to Washington, D.C. on a either, you know, free or low cost or price supported trip, where they take them into the cathedral of the Capitol that looks like the Vatican for a reason. And they take them into the temples along the Potomac, the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial, and they show them the deities, and everything is very silent, you know, hush and quiet, and they just indoctrinate them into this hidden religion of statism. They all use monopoly government fiat money to steal value secretly from the population. And so this right here in the United States, private banks, private companies – called banks, have a exorbitant monopoly privilege to engage in something called fractional reserve banking, where they're able to loan money that they do not have, even though it's inflationary and steals the value out of everyone else's money. It's not that the price of goods, the luxuries and necessities of life are going up. It's that the value of the money is going down. Mm. And absent house hot you know, hot stocks or hot housing markets. It's not that the value of your home is appreciating or the value of your portfolio is appreciating. It's that it now takes more rapidly depreciating dollars to buy the same amount of housing or the same amount of stocks. And if you don't understand the basics of inflation, you're just like, well, how do these prices keep going up? I don't understand why prices are going up. It's because they're stealing the value out of the money. They all spy on the citizenry. And so that's how you know they're good people. They all use torture as policy. That's how you know they're good people. And not only is that how you know they're good people, but you really, really, you know, that's really where it becomes obvious that the people that support the government are under some kind of mind control. Because once you find out your government is using torture and it's killing people or whatever, you should be, I'm out, right? I'm like, I'm out. I'm not supporting that 100%. But it's hard to let go of that old-timey religion. And so now, the you know, people are willing to, you know, accept you know, unlimited cruelty, unlimited things that are obviously wrong. These wars, obviously, you know, like people are turning their heads because they've been indoctrinated into a religion and they don't understand the religiosity or the techniques that have been used on them or what the outcome of it has been. They all run secret prisons, for-profit prisons, concentration camps, and black sites. Again, this is how you know that they're good people. And then they use conscription, manufactured enemies, and paid political violence at the rallies of their political opposition. So that's the first part of the book. And that's just so you can see, understand the techniques, recognize them, and then, you know, recognize that it's the exact same techniques the Nazis and the Soviets and the East Germans used on their population. The next part of the book are what I call, you know, one-pagers. And in my day job, I help Fortune 500 companies learn at the speed of light and, you know, understand how people learn. And so, you know, one of the things, the techniques I use in the book, and the book is really designed to take somebody from zero to 60. Like I've never understood, I didn't understand this was going on. And then how do I get somebody that did not understand what was going on? And how do you, you know, get them to, you know, have that moment of insight that, you know, hey, I'm coming to insight. Well, one of the techniques I use is I reveal the pattern recognition. And human beings are really, really good at pattern recognition. And so when you see the pattern, you're like, hey, that's a pattern that's artificial. And so you may or may not have realized that the government and its media propagandists were using religious symbolism in their propaganda. But if I stack up three dozen examples of halos and penumbras and religious iconography, all of a sudden you're like, hey, wait a minute. I never saw that anymore. They're doing that on purpose. And so again, it's a religion. And so they're trying to give the Pope, the president and the leader, the church leadership, you know, the illusion of holiness for the tax slaves. Mm-hmm. This one breaks down the religion of statism. And so, you know, sacred symbols and texts, the deities, they go on crusades, they all do the common prayer, they have temples and monuments, we have the church leadership. You know, once you really see how they do it, you know, you can't really unsee it. And right. Is not the state an idol? Is it not like any graven image into which men have read supernatural powers and superhuman capacities? The state can feed us when we are hungry. It can help heal us when we are ill. It can raise wages and lower prices even at the same time. It can educate our children without cost. It can provide us against the contingencies of old age. What cannot the state do for us if we only have faith in it? And at the end of the day, it's a scam, and the, you know, the people have been robbed. There's not going to be any Social Security. It's been a Ponzi scheme. The, you know, the dollar is now rapidly losing value as the Ponzi scheme is now kind of unraveling. And so what I believe the COVID lockdowns were the manufactured, engineered reason to have the bailouts and to have the Fed begin right. participating in the treasury auctions, because people were unwilling to loan the government money at the amounts that they needed. And so as the Ponzi scheme is falling apart, oh, people aren't coming to the treasury auctions and we're handing all this money out the door to the military industrial complex and Homeland Security and all the stuff that we don't need, and it's about to fall apart. So now we have to have a reason that the Fed gets to break the law and buy treasuries at the auction. And we're going to lock down the population so that they can't get together and talk about it. And we're going to have them living in fear. And we're going to maybe even force them to take a vaccination that gets rid of some of the trouble mouths so we don't have to feed them. And if you don't think that they're capable of that, you just don't understand, you know, what's really going on. I break down this shady history of the Constitution. I break down the shady history of the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, the cover of the book has, you know, American students doing the Heil Hitler salute, which was really called the Bellamy salute. And most people associate it with the Nazis. Most people don't realize that the Nazis got it from us. We started doing the Heil Hitler salute. It was called the Bellamy salute. And we started doing it in 1892. It was the result of a media operation run by National Socialists and Freemasons, doing a well-financed publishing company targeting kids. It was called the Perry Mason Company, and they published the most popular magazine of the time called the Youth Companion. And that's who sold military socialism, robotic chanting, pledges, oaths, you know, got the flag into schools, the federal flag into schools where it had never been before. That was a media operation. They were controlling perception back then the same way they're doing it today. You know, if you click on this, you can actually see. And so we started doing it in 1892. The Italians started doing it in 1919. The Nazi Party adopted it in 1926, and the German Army adopted it in 1944. We switched to the hand over the heart in 1943 on Army Day. And if you want to actually see videos, you know, of the time when we used to do it, you can click on this one. And this was a, you know, propaganda film made in 1925 called The Vanishing American. And it actually shows Indian children being indoctrinated into the artificial religion of statism in a mandatory government school by a white teacher. And so after the government conquered the Indians and stole their land, the first thing they did is they took the Indian kids and put them into mandatory government schools, where they began running the Prussian model of education and giving them the artificial holy symbol and the deities. You can see them there, you know, on the wall. And they took the Indians from proud and free and turned them into taxpayers and order followers. And to just really drive home the propaganda, this film makes a hero out of the Indian that is providing horses from the U.S. Army and gets other Indians to enlist and fight in the government's wars. And so really, you know, once you get somebody as a kid and you're able to control the information that gets into them, you can program them like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. And you can take some, you know, you can take once proud and free Indians and you can have them, you know, walking in jack boots, saluting artificially indoctrinated holy symbols and, you know, repeating all of the garbage that the government sells them. This, you know, really is that the real product of the government school system. It is shave-headed cult members that are and order followers that are willing to kill foreigners and enforce orders on the leaders of an artificially indoctrinated statist religion. Everything else is like, this is the, if you think about, you know, United States power and the ability to go abroad and do all these things, it's all predicated on the military. Mm-hmm. And they're running these techniques to produce, you know, someone that is going, that after they go through all these different programs, they just can't think straight. They don't, you know, they've been taught that obedience is a virtue and that, you know, that they've been given this religion without understanding that they've been given a religion.
Right. Because people aren't born with the desire to kill other humans. That must be taught.
It must be taught. It must be indoctrinated. And they're not, you know, they have to be taught obedience to hierarchical authority. And that when I say, you know, like anybody can go put on a, you know, a uniform with, it's got a colonel's wings or a general's thing. And like, you know, people stand up, step down, whatever. And it's just so easy to get people to set their conscience aside and do something when you're able to operate on them, since they were small kids, and that they've grown up in this soup of, the propaganda system. I explained fractional reserve banking. So the more money that they allow the banks to create, the less it's worth, I use these visualizations. They're monopolizing, they're creating these paper tickets, and they're buying real plant, property, and equipment. And then that's why, they're running out of business, mom and pop chain store, mom and pop stores and restaurants and everything. And this COVID lockdown is economic warfare against real businesses, so they can come in with chain stores, chain restaurants, chain coffee shops, because they don't want independent wealth. They don't want people, being able to say no to the government. So they're going to drive the entrepreneurs out of business, the independent wealth out of business. They're going to bankrupt, these people. And they're waging economic warfare against the population. This one breaks down the propaganda matrix. And so earlier I mentioned that we have six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the illusion of choice. This is a media ownership chart from 2006. It's still, relevant today. In fact, there's been even more media consolidation. So there's even, there might only be five-ish or so, but this is News Corp, and which is Fox News. And most people don't realize that in addition to like Fox News and Fox Movies, they own 175 newspapers, they own magazines, they own internet properties, they own satellite networks, they own television programming, television distribution. Here's Disney, which owns ABC and has magazines and internet properties and film companies. And this is just a small portion of the graph, but if you want to see the others and all of their subsidiaries, you can go to government-scam.com. You can click on this link and you can actually see the entire chart. So what I'm doing is I'm making something that was invisible to most people that did not understand that there was this level of monopolization and control, and I'm making it visible so people can now see it. And then once people see it, they're like, oh my God, there's six companies running hundreds of subsidiaries to rob us.
Yeah. Now, so before we get into all this other stuff, I would love to. Actually, if you wouldn't mind just coming back onto the webcam so we can have more of a conversation about all this stuff, because I would love to give people the opportunity to explore this on their own time. It is a long PDF. There's a lot of sections.
Absolutely. So this is the last one that I really wanted to cover.
Great. Yeah. Let's take a look.
And I really think it's important because, in the age of COVID, if you asked 99.9% of people, do you see any evidence of a pandemic going on right now? Other than on the television and in the media or whatever, I don't think you would find, other than a couple of hospitals in New York City that have been caught faking the deaths and the count and the tests and everything like that. Most people don't see any evidence of a pandemic. All of their quote unquote, the reason that people think there's an evidence is every single newspaper and every single television show and every single radio station is telling them that there's a pandemic. Now the last media ownership chart shows you how those media properties are owned and controlled by the small handful of companies operating as a cartel. But that doesn't explain how that individual journalists and individual reporters and individual publishers are given their marching orders to propagandize the population on a very, very large scale. And so this visualization is from Swiss Propaganda Research, and this is the one for the United States. They've got others for Germany and Switzerland and other countries that show the exact same monopolization and cartelization of those media systems as well. But what you've got, and I mentioned it earlier, is you've got three organizations, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission, that have maneuvered their members into these key reporterships, publisherships, and editorships to where they can give the marching orders to either sell the scam of 9/11 or sell the scam of COVID, whatever. But Jeffrey Epstein was a member of all three of these organizations. And so not only are they using control of the media to create this artificial reality, but they're also using blackmail. You know, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were running, you know, what is fairly, you know, commonly acknowledged to be a, you know, what in DC is known as a brownstone operation, where they'll take politicians, prominent individuals, media folks. They will, pop them a roofie, throw them into a room with, you know, a little boy or a little girl, take some photos or some video, and then they will control them via blackmail. And Ghislaine Maxwell's father was Robert Maxwell, who was a media baron running a control of perception media operation. And so Jeffrey Epstein should be the poster boy for the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. And these are Jeffrey's colleagues in the media.
Wow.
And so now, you know, I break down who those groups are, but I'll stop sharing and we can go back and we can have a conversation. But I just wanted to make sure that everybody had really the basics of why they believe there's a pandemic going on, or why they believe 9/11 was perpetrated by a handful of Arabs with box cutters. Now we can talk about maybe some solutions and what we do about it.
Sure. That sounds great. And I guess before we jump into that, actually, I just want to play devil's advocate. I mean, you are outlining and showing a lot of very, I guess, what would be considered controversial information, stuff that might result in people's defenses coming up and this feeling of betrayal and fear. And what are some of the common responses that you've heard towards this information, and ways that you've maneuvered around that to really drive home your argument? Of course, you have the book, which is very helpful, visually illustrating and outlining how this agenda is playing out. But yeah, I'd be curious to hear about some of those common reactions.
So the book's been out for 2 years. It's in its fourth edition now. I've spoken publicly, you know, internationally about the book to audiences of hundreds and hundreds of people. I've been on podcasts. I've been on, you know, interviews, and I've yet to be challenged on any of the facts in the book. Mostly I get, like, if I get a negative comment, it's something like conspiracy theory, and it's by people that are really unwilling to take a look at the evidence I present. I mentioned that the book is backed up by a credit card size right. flash drive that has 16 gigabytes of evidence, you know, supporting most of the major, factual points in the book, and it has the full, you know, the full scale media ownership charts and the full scale control of the media charts, and a lot of the videos that you see in there that are now disappearing off the internet. But most people that I've got friends and family in my own life that are unwilling to look at it, and there's a well-known psychological condition called cognitive dissonance, where when the brain is presented with evidence that causes pain or contradicts information previously known, that the brain kind of like locks up and goes, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to suffer the pain of having been chumped. I don't want to admit that I've been fooled. And so, unfortunately, most people just aren't willing right. It's not most people, but like a lot of people aren't willing to even entertain it because it causes so much pain.
Sure. And also it challenges our sense of identity, right? That we identify with being a citizen of America or whatever country you happen to be from that you're listening to now. And you know, we have, to your point about, the American flag, we've been taught to revere the American flag and revere the military and to defend our, this idea of democracy at all costs. And that is another thing that I wanted to ask you about. I for a while myself, took for granted this idea like, oh yeah, democracy is the best way to operate and run a society. But the way that you describe it, it's very interesting in that, when we really think about it, it's like, 51%, whoever has the majority gets to dominate and say what goes over the other 49 people. So is it really just a form of bullying, and or what would be an alternative solution that would more effectively integrate differing perspectives?
Well, this is where it gets good, because I feel like we were focused on the negative and now we get to focus on the positive and we get to focus on the good news. And the good news really is voluntarism and an understanding that the world is a self-organizing system. It produces spontaneous order, and that everything that the monopoly government does, whether it's police or roads, it's non-redistributive. You can't have government robbing Peter to pay Paul just because some people in government think that this is the way to deliver charity in this kind of, in this specific instance. What you really want is you want to have a system where the market decides who's the best provider of charity, where the market decides who's the best provider of these services. So absent the monopoly government, as an example with the police, absent the monopoly provider, because everybody universally wants to be safe and secure in their home and their business, et cetera, there is a market for protection. But instead of there being a monopoly, police officer, there might be ADT or Westech. Those are two companies that provide armed response today. But when they show up, because you as a human being have the ability to protect your life, liberty, and property, that's a right that you have innate in yourself. Well, you can delegate that right to a security guard or to a protection officer to exercise a right that you have on your behalf to do. Now, you don't have the ability to decide if your neighbor gets to gamble or what kind of plants that they can smoke. And because you don't have that right, your security company can't show up and say, hey, you're not allowed to have that plant, or you're not supposed to be gambling, and then throw you into a cage or charge you a bunch of money. And so, and if the security guard is rude or nasty or uses too much force or whatever, then, I don't know of a private company anywhere that would allow its employees to act the way the monopoly police frequently act in the United States. And right. So, you'd still have private protection. But number one, it would be a lot more efficient because it would be focused on protecting life, liberty, and property, not raising revenue on friends and neighbors, for SWAT teams and armored vehicles and a bunch of ridiculousness, not trying to legislate morality. And if ADT wasn't doing a good job, you can fire them and you can go to Westech and probably pay $50 a month, and it would come with an alarm system, and everybody would be a lot better off. Now, most people, they can't envision this world because the organized crime government has impoverished people so much and has stolen so much money, not just to have it for themselves, but to keep it out of private hands, that they don't realize how they've been impoverished by government. And so if it wasn't for – if we had honest money, if we had hard money, kind of inflation-proof honest money, the dollar should be buying more every single year as innovations and productivity improvements reduce the costs of producing the necessities and luxuries of life. You're not only being robbed – by the dollar losing money, you're being robbed of your dollar buying more and more and more each year. So absent government, forgetting the fact that it's stealing half, almost half your income in overt taxes and covert taxes. And when I say covert taxes, I mean every time you pay, like everybody knows what they pay on the 1040. Very few people add up all the other little sneaky, deceitful taxes that the organized crime government is using on them for, whether it's every time you buy a beer, every time you, pay your cable television bill, every time you pay your cell phone bill, every time you get a gallon of gas, there's a gazillion hidden taxes that you never really think about. But if you add that all up, and also you do away with all of the, what's known in economics as, economic misallocation, we wouldn't be spending trillions of dollars in unneeded, unnecessary wars based on lies and manufactured intelligence. And so all of that money, if you were spending it every single day, spending it in your community, spending it with the charities that you know make a difference, we would have more than enough wealth to we would be filthy, stinking rich as a society. Way better than we are right now, and there'd be way less violence on behalf of the police, way less violence on the behalf of the military globally. Once we get rid of this scam of government, the society is set to flourish, and everybody will be tremendously wealthier. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be a transition period, because number one, the organized crime government is not going down without a fight. Number two, the bad news is that the country has been the victim of a scam and a Ponzi scheme. And so, there's not a way of reinflating the dollar if it goes to zero. And they appear to be trying to wage economic warfare and bring down the country so they can scoop everything up for pennies on the dollar, which is now going to be digital dollars that they're now openly talking about moving everybody to, digital money, where now they, can inflate as much as they want, and you will be prohibited from being able to save or spend without it being taxed and traced. And that's the plan they have for you. The good news is that even though this, in a lot of cases, this might be the first time that you've ever heard this, this message is getting out globally. People all over the planet are figuring out that the government is a scam. And even if they don't understand the in-depth understanding that I just communicated to you, they know they're being lied to about COVID. They know that the government is acting tyrannical. They know the government is lying to them about stuff like 9/11 and other kind of major events. And so that's the reason that they're being locked down. That's the reason they're being prohibited from getting together to compare notes, is that this is coming out widely. So we are going to get rid of this organized crime government, but there may be a transition period because they've stolen everybody's retirement. They've stolen everybody's, they've robbed us. And so we got to really come to grips with what's happened.
I think it's fair to say that most people are skeptical or mistrustful of the government, and they know that there's something not quite right, or they're frustrated with things not really improving or in fact getting worse year over year. And but you go to essentially an extreme that, calling it out as organized crime and pseudo religion. And I imagine I would wonder if people have called you, conspiracy theorists or like that, using words like that to sort of discredit this perspective and who you are. How do you respond to people like that?
So, the term conspiracy theorist is a propaganda term developed by the CIA to counter the researchers that were coming out after the JFK assassination. With facts and evidence that supported the CIA's involvement in the assassination. And so people that are doing that are ignorant of the history of the term. And like I said, you know, I this book's been out for 2 years, since fourth edition, since eighth printing. I've spoken, you know, to crowds of hundreds and hundreds of people. I've been on, you know, podcasts and, you know, vlogs and things like that. You can go and see my interviews. 95% thumbs up, 95% positive comments, and the small handful of negative comments are literally just name calling, ad hominem attacks, conspiracy theorist, or something like that. Mm. I have yet to be challenged in any kind of serious way on the major theses of the book or the major facts presented. And like I said, I'm backing everything up with a 16 gig flash drive that you can also, you know, buy with the book and a combo deal at government-scam.com.
Yeah. You know, I encourage those watching and listening, you know, if you're feeling a certain type of way about hearing this or feeling, you know, skeptical, I encourage you to take a look at this PDF that's on Etienne's website. It is a powerful argument that you're making and skillfully illustrating in a visual way of having the comparison between, you know, the tactics used here and in other countries as well as, and some of the infographics that are outlining the way in which our perception is being controlled and manipulated for the advantage of those in government. And I wanted to touch on something you were mentioning earlier about this, you know, this concept of privatization, right? So we're imagining a world in which, you know, there is no government, and essentially everything that the government currently does is being run and operated by essentially private organizations. Isn't there still a profit motive for these companies to essentially neglect, you know, the health and welfare of humans and planet? So I'm wondering, like, you know, essentially the big argument is that, you know, the government is the problem. The government is the enemy, and that is what needs to be removed. But I'm wondering more about this idea of the way in which groups tend to centralize power, and how that wouldn't necessarily would or would not be an issue in this world where there is no government and we still have these essentially organizations, right, that have some degree of power because they're companies and, you know, they have money, etc. So yeah, I would love to hear you address that concept.
Sure. So most people don't really understand capitalism and the free market. And the term capitalism just means a free market in goods and services where the ownership of the means of production are in private hands versus being owned by the state. And in the free market, you get rich by satisfying the consumer. And so when I sell my book, you know, I print it for X amount of dollars, I sell it for X amount of dollars, and I make a profit that's the difference between what I print it for and what I sell it. And I think I've done the absolute best job in being able to rapidly communicate the ideas of liberty and voluntarism and expose what's going on. And I am competing with other people that are doing the best thing. And if people read my book and they buy, you know, copies for their friends and neighbors, I make a profit, and that allows me to continue to speak and to talk and to travel to events and to do my research and everything like that. And the more people that buy my book, the more money that I make, and that's the way that it kind of ought to be. And, you know, Henry Ford, you know, got very wealthy because he made cars available to people that could never afford a car before. And that's really what you want, is you want people making money by satisfying the consumer. And then you have a willing transaction between a willing buyer and a willing seller, where you wouldn't buy it if you didn't, you know, think it was a good deal, and you wouldn't sell it if it wasn't a good deal. Government screws up that relationship, and government says, hey, I'm going to protect the environment, And then, you know, claims to be the protector of the environment, but is allowing, you know, companies to clear cut national lands or poisoning, you know, rivers because they wanted to have it, you know, there'd be a Superfund site. The government refuses to, you know, label GMOs as an example. And so private organizations, the GMO Project, came and they created a labeling system where certified things are marked, and the companies can choose to participate or not choose to participate. But I got to tell you, I'm always looking for that label to make sure it's not GMO. And if I don't see that it's not GMO, I put it back on the shelf. And so, so there is a market discipline that actually works way better than what the government claims it's going to do. But because the government's run by organized crime, you're getting the illusion of environmental security or health, you know, security. But instead of getting good food information, you get the food pyramid, or you get, you know, or you get the companies bribing the government not to mark GMOs. And so it really is the, you know, just it's a scam. It's the illusion that the government is protecting you. The government acts like it's a religious organization, but in reality, it's we're stealing your money and we're going to spend it on whatever we want to spend it on, and you don't have any say in it, you know, whatsoever. And we're going to crowd out, okay, because the people think that the USDA or the FDA or the CDC is protecting them. We're going to crowd out the private alternatives and the nonprofits and the charities that would have gotten the money, you know, and done a better job with this easily corruptible, monopoly provider that has been caught lying and stealing and abusing so many times that I've you know, lost count. And so it's just, you know, part of not understanding the basic that the government is not really your friend, right, and is robbing you.
So I want to give an example, maybe to better clarify my question, and that might be helpful here, with respect to my concern about just privatizing everything, right? So there's recently the big tech companies, right? Google, Facebook, Apple to a certain extent, Amazon, right? There's been this growing movement both from within the government as well as on the ground, grassroots, just everyday people, of recognizing the sheer amount of power that these companies have, for better or worse, right? It's not all bad, but there are some significantly bad effects that, you know, things like Facebook and other social media platforms have had on our mental health and communal connections, et cetera, et cetera. So imagining that there is no government, and essentially what we're left with is some of these giant tech companies, for example, that are, even right now, you know, some would say that, you know, we really have a corporatocracy right now. So eliminating the government, then, you know, where are the safeguards on preventing some of the you know, pre-existing giant companies from essentially being the pseudo governments, right? Just essentially being the governments, but maybe not in name.
So in all the companies that you named, I believe, and I present evidence in the book and on the flash drive, that these are government front companies. I used to be an internet guy, a networking guy. I did, you know, networks for Wall Street, for market data trading floor technology. I worked at internet companies. I've seen internet maps from 1974. And in 1974, ARPA, which was the predecessor to DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, in 1974, ARPA, and you can go look at ARPA network map 1974, they had dozens and dozens of institutions on the internet, colleges, private, you know, military contractors, research, you know, government research agencies connected on the internet in 1974. They had the internet way, way before they turned the internet over to us. and they'd already war gamed it, and they'd already figured out the key technologies and the key, companies that they had to control to maintain their control of perception. Okay. And so one of the documents that you can find on the flash drive of Liberty the Liberator, which backs up the book, is an article called How the CIA Created Google. And so, it breaks down the specific DARPA programs, the Highland Forum that Google came out of, that funded Google. And so what they did is they knew that we had to control search. We had to control books because they're changing. They're going to change books in the future. The big secret of Amazon is that if you spin the Z, it spells A Mason. You can get anything you want from a Mason in 2 days with free shipping, but you shouldn't if you can avoid it. And you take a look at what Amazon is doing, is Amazon is digitally burning books on the Kindle and the Fire. So years ago, they got caught reaching into everybody's Kindle that had bought 1984, and they just deleted it off everybody's Kindle. And people that are intelligent understand the plot line of 1984. Winston Smith worked in the Ministry of Information, where his job was to make things go down the memory hole. Google is spying on everybody in their homes with the Alexa and the Echo. Google has a $600 million a year contract with the intelligence agencies to provide cloud services. Google's Ring doorbell cameras have been quietly wired into over 1,200 police departments. So they have wired up all these neighborhoods in a way that if they'd gone out to your neighborhood and put, a CCT camera, in your neighborhood, the population wouldn't go with it. They tricked you into buying the camera yourself and doing all the work of having it installed. And then they just wired it on the back end into the police departments and the Homeland Security fusion centers. Google has Google Key or Google. Yeah, I think it's named the product where they can unlock your door, and then they have a camera on everybody Amazon coming key. And going. Yeah. Amazon Key. They've been caught censoring books, taking books off of the Amazon platform that expose the scam of Sandy Hook or 9/11. They've been caught censoring movies on Amazon Prime. I can go on and on. They're waging economic warfare against mom and pop distributors, and they're even competing with their own sellers on the Amazon in the Amazon third party marketplace, to where once they figure out that a product has got some legs, they just create their own and then try and drive that company out of business. They're waging economic warfare against you. And that's just Amazon. I break down Google. Facebook was a program called LifeLog, a DARPA program called LifeLog that ended the day before Facebook started. And so these are companies that they realize we've got to control, we've got to control social media. We've got to control all these specific companies. And so these companies have been given unlimited funds. This is the bankers, fractional reserve banking, working together with the government. And they're given unlimited funds to consolidate their own industries. They use patents. They use all of these things to keep the competition down while making sure that they have these dominant platforms. So you never would have seen these companies develop in a true free market. These companies developed because they used your tax money, public tax money, to create the technologies, whether it's packet networks or TCP/IP or whatever it is, and then they slide them out the door. And then they privatize the profits, and then those profits are funneled, back in. And then those companies are made the winners because they get the $600 million a year contracts for cloud services or whatever. They're given this unlimited money, government contracts, to ensure that they're the dominant platforms so they can spy on you and so they can algorithmically censor people like me. And so like on YouTube, I see view counts go backwards. I see my videos being demonetized. I've had other talk show hosts like yourself, just be warned, contact me immediately after the video goes live, that hundreds of views have been, lopped off of it, and the video was immediately demonetized. And so they're using these ways to algorithmically censor this message. At the same time, those platforms, if you think about Facebook and you think about Android phone, or Twitter or whatever, as soon as you sign up for it, oh, suggested for you, recommended for you. We're going to magnify certain voices while we hide and demonetize and shadow ban the others. And so unless you understand that that every screen is being algorithmically censored, almost every single screen, you're not even in the game. You're not even in the game. And so that's really what, that's how they've been able to do it. You would not see it in a true free market. You would not see this amount of monopolization in a true free market. It's only because the bankers are given the ability to create money out of thin air. That allows them unlimited capital to finance these cartel companies, to buy up their competition, and to do things that other people would leave immediately.
Wow. So you mentioned control of perception, and if it's not obvious to other people, but to people before, I think it's becoming increasingly obvious that this is a big problem on social media, in particular Facebook, with respect to COVID, corona crisis. You've mentioned a number of times that, it is a scam. And, for myself, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what's going on. What I do know is, people are being banned and censored left and right for so much as questioning the mainstream narrative. And Facebook essentially now is becoming is in the position of being the truth teller and saying what is false and what is not, what is true. And I'm curious, you also mentioned earlier as well, the wealth transfer. I think it was something in like the trillions of dollars early on in the coronavirus crisis. I'd love to get your perspective on this a little bit more of like, what do you think is going on? Cause this is of course very relevant right now for people and is affecting most of us, if not all of us listening to this right now. And seems, to be getting worse, and it's a scary time. So where do you find hope in all of this?
The reason that they're censoring us is because we're winning. They wouldn't be openly censoring and kind of exposing the hand. And so just so everybody knows, there were three major waves of censorship in 2018. I got knocked off of Facebook in the first wave, which I think was the beta test in kind of May of 2018. Then they had a round in June where it came out publicly and they took down Alex Jones and they made Alex Jones the poster boy of being able to take down people on the media. And right. he was censored across Twitter, Google, YouTube, like PayPal, like Apple. Number of different platforms. Yeah. That proves that all of these companies are working together as a cartel, number one, but also I believe that he is a controlled opposition mouthpiece, because you don't think that they would have made a legitimate, they would have focused the attention and made a legitimate truth teller the example of algorithmic censorship, do you? No, so they picked him because they knew he was a polarizing figure where half the country is like, yeah, censor that guy, man, right on, yeah. And then the others who didn't understand the big game were like, oh, he must be real, So I'll follow him on the website, or I'll follow him on his app, or I'll follow him, whatever. And so if you go to Alex Jones, he still says that the elections are legitimate. He's using statism. He has the flags flacking behind you. Owen Schroyer wears the American flag tie. I've been censored on Alex Jones's platform by Owen Schroyer before, where I was interviewed, explained all of this and how he was a disinfo agent. They say they never censorship. That's BS. They censored me right out of the archive. So flat out, Alex Jones is censoring people that are exposing that he is a controlled opposition mouthpiece. Now, the second wave – so that was the second wave. The third wave was in October of 2018, where Facebook kicked off around 250 people, just deleted them, made them go away. Okay, like they made my account go away, and my Etienne de la Boissy account go away in May of 2018. And then they kicked off around, I want to say, 500 plus pages. And so this is the alternative media, the anti-media, the Free Thought Project. A lot of these organizations not only got kicked off of Facebook in 2018, but on the exact same day they got kicked off of Twitter and YouTube. So these companies are operating as a cartel. And the only way, if you're listening to this at home, if you think that you're going to post this to Facebook and they're going to show people it, they're not going to do it. You have to individually send it to your friends and your family if you want it, while you can still follow the link. Right now, if you send somebody a link, most likely they're still going to be able to hit that link and get that video. But all of the sharing on Twitter and on Facebook, none of that is going to work for you unless you send it to them directly, and that they have enough faith in their relationship with you to trust you to actually listen to to actually click on it and view the information. That is the reality of the censorship that we live in right now.
Wow. And about Corona specifically, though, I want to get into your perspective on this. You know, it's something that is a present reality for us here in September of 2020. What about it is a scam? I know. Well, at least I'll say for me, what doesn't sit right is, the government. When has the government cared about our health? When has the government cared about the glyphosate in the water and the food, or having a national healthcare system, or having, education that isn't, government indoctrination and mind control. And now all of a sudden they care so much about our health. So that just seems a little bit curious. And I'm curious what, I guess, evidence you have to support this idea that it's a scam.
Sure. So I realized this was a government and media scam immediately. I recognized the players, the messaging, the impossibility of the scenario, the every channel, et cetera. And so in early April, myself and a liberty activist named David Rodriguez, we began going into hospitals in the epicenter of COVID in California, Santa Clara. Okay, and you can see videos of us doing, film your hospital campaigns in Santa Clara and Santa Cruz, where we exposed empty hospital tents, empty waiting rooms, employees that were openly speculating that the whole thing was a hoax. I talked. Yeah, I'll show you videos.
That's crazy.
I went in and I talked to one of the employees. I didn't get it on video, but I talked to one of the employees doing, the testing, and he was worried as hell, when I was talking to him. And I asked him flat out, how many people are, coming in for testing? He said they only had tested 10 people. people the day before, which was nothing compared with all the, you know, everything that was going on. I asked him, are you seeing any, you know, more death and disease than the usual and customary seasonal influenzas among the elderly or COPD or respiratory issues or pneumonias? And he said, no. And we talked to a dozen other employees. None of them would say they were seeing pandemic conditions. And one of the, you know, one of the EMTs told us that he thought the whole thing was a hoax. When we did it in Santa Cruz, you know, empty tents. They took down the tents the next day after our videos went viral. And we started a resistance group that started with 10 people. Santa Cruz voluntarists. It went to 20. It went to 35. We were bullhorning. This is in April. And so so we did a multi-investigator investigation of who is behind it. You can find that at government-scam/plandemic. And so you can see the evidence that we have of foreknowledge, things like Event 201, where they war game the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the John Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is the people behind all the COVID numbers, before before Corona was supposedly discovered. They war game the exact scenario that we go through. This is a this whole plan is a plan from the Rockefeller Foundation known as Lockstep. That you can go and see it, you know, the kind of future visioning document that they created called Lockstep, where they outline the scenario. And so we expose the foreknowledge, we expose the media hoax, the fact that the media was lying, especially the New York Times in Elmhurst Hospital, which was the hospital that they used, you know, that there weren't really lines out the door, that they really weren't out of you know, ventilators. Now they're, you know, undercover nurses come forward, you know, showing how that they've been lying about the, you know, amount of death and disease that they say that they've had. Now the CDC has had to revise all the numbers. And so I honestly thought in April, after we blew the lid off these empty hospitals in the epicenter of COVID in California, I was like, it's all over. I can't, it's going to be like, no way. Like once people discover the hospitals are empty, like, you know, they're not going to be able to fool people. The hospitals are all empty. It's all bullshit. I cannot believe that it's still going on. I cannot believe that people cannot see through this when the only thing telling them that there's a pandemic is the television. I'm not saying that some people aren't getting sick. I'm not saying that the government, you know, might not be making have the ability to make people sick using 5G or spreading some kind of, you know, pathogen. What I'm saying is that the government is obviously lying about the lethality of the virus. They're obviously lying about the communicability of the virus. They've been caught lying. All of their models are astronomically wrong. There's massive evidence of foreknowledge, with Event 201 being the, you know, the main culprit, with the, and not only was it Bill and Melinda Gates and John Hopkins and the World Economic Forum, but it was the CIA and the World Bank and people that used to work at the Rockefeller Foundation, which just so happened to have a planning document called Lockstep, published in 2010, that outlines the whole thing. And so these are the same organization. And this is not just me. There was an organization of doctors in Germany representing over 1,000 doctors that last week had a press conference where they were saying this is organized crime as well. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was sitting right next to the guy in the press conference. And so there's very, very, you know, there's respectable people. There's lots of doctors saying it, that this is a scam. You can go to go to your hospital yourself and go see if they're experiencing pandemic conditions. They're not. I've talked to people all over the country. I've talked to emergency room doctors. I've talked to nurses. I've talked to, you know, EMTs. I've yet to have anybody that has reported firsthand pandemic conditions except on the television.
And some anecdotal.
My cousin's boyfriend.
So Summer, she was dehydrated, I think, in like it must have been like April or maybe around that time. Yeah, around the same time that you were mentioning as well. And she went to the hospital and it was completely empty. And she was surprised. Yeah. We were surprised. So, yeah, I mean, at least there's the anecdotal evidence that we have that, you know, the in-person experience of seeing the hospitals being totally empty during, you know, what one would expect to be, you know, crazy periods of intense activity. Now, that's just our own experience. That's not to say that, you know, we're all, you know, it might have been busier in other places. But yeah, super interesting information. And yeah, this is something that, you know, it's confusing for a lot of people, right? Because, you know, I've heard, so-and-so died from COVID. You know, how do you explain that?
So, you know, I'm in Florida right now, and the average age of a COVID person in Florida is 90-something years old. And so people die every single day. Did they die of COVID or did they die with COVID? Right. And if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Andrew Kaufman, you know, he breaks down how that the COVID and virus theory does not meet Koch's postulates, which is the, right, you know, the medical standard for determining whether an organism is communicable and causes disease. And so there, you know, medical science for, you know, over a century has had a, you know, way of determining if something is a pathogen, and you have to be able to isolate it down to its purest form. You have to be able to introduce it into a new host. The host has to develop the exact same symptoms and disease as what it was cultured from, and then you're able to reculture that and then pure it down to its purest form, compare the two, and they're the same, and that's not what's going on here at all. The PCR test, which is the main test they're using to detect that, Kerry Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize, and it was the inventor of the test, has said flat out publicly this was never intended to diagnose any disease. And the government has been caught fudging the numbers where they've already had to go back and do it. And so some people are dying. And then the hospitals have there's $100 billion fund where the hospitals, if you're declared COVID, they get, in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars more because you're COVID. So the hospitals, which are now, you know, almost going out of business because people are avoiding them for routine necessary surgeries, you know, they've got this economic incentive to go along with it, right. $100 billion economic incentive to play along, and they're monopoly government hospitals, where the government has given the AMA and allopathic medicine a monopoly on the ability to prescribe, the ability to be reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid, and the ability to license medical schools. So they're untrustworthy government monopoly hospitals. They're in on it. And now they've got this financial incentive to where they're making money and the doctors are making money. And some of them, I'm not saying that they're all in on it. Saying that some of them are maybe willfully ignorant. There's a lot of honest ones, like I said, that are, you know, coming forward, you know, every single day. They're doing press conferences on the Capitol. They're going, this is lies. This is like, we can cure this. You know, we can cure people that have, you know, this kind of, you know, nasty little flu with, you know, over-the-counter, you know, remedies that don't cost a fortune. There's no need for a vaccine. You've got doctors that have had 100%. You know, success rates and getting people that have quote unquote COVID and, you know, and restoring their health. So the only reason people think that there is, pandemic is because the monopoly media is telling them that there's a pandemic.
Yes. Great point. And yeah, I mean, my reaction to this, and I would imagine other people as well, is it's you know, quite confronting and intense, sort of heavy information, right? To really consider the scope of the deception. And I'm wondering how you balance that out for yourself, in terms of living with hope and optimism for a future where we can live healthier and happier.
Because I think, like I said, I think we're winning. I don't think that they would be doing this. My foundation, the Art of Liberty Foundation, we're in the process of raising funds, and we're trying to get the message out in a very, very big way. And I believe that we can be successful. We can be successful in one state, New Hampshire. I'm part of something called the Free State and the Pre-State Project, which is where tens of thousands of libertarians and voluntarists have committed to move to New Hampshire and work to limit government to just protecting life, liberty, and property. And so I think if we can free, one state and create a redoubt where people can be safe from order followers, that is, overwhelmingly positive. There's a project out there called the Thick Red Line Project, where people are educating the police on the immorality of victimless crimes and encouraging the police to organize collectively through their union or outside of their union to lock arms and just tell the politicians, no, we're not going to, enforce these victimless crimes, whether it's arresting somebody for smoking a plant or ignoring a COVID lockdown order. Like, we're not going to use violence on peaceful people or raise revenue on our friends and neighbors because some politician said so. And that's, it's solutions like that, that are out there, that if we can get the police to quit, obeying politicians when the politicians give them immoral orders, you don't want to defund the police. You want to defang the police. You don't want to, you don't want there to be no police. You want the police to stop doing the things that get the community ticked off and mad at them.
Right.
In every single case, from Breonna Taylor to you name it, the reason that the public is mad is that the police were using violence on peaceful people to prosecute these victimless crimes. When the police only protect life, liberty, and property, everybody loves the police, right? That's what you want them to do. You want them out there focused on murderers and rapists and thieves and things like that. You don't want them out there trying to legislate morality or raise revenue off your friends and neighbors. And the police don't want to be doing it. And so I think the people and the police are going to unite against the politicians. And if the police say no, the whole crooked organized crime program falls on the ground. The police can keep their jobs. They don't have to be defunded.
Interesting.
But they have to tell the politicians no. And the way that you're going to be able to tell a good cop from a bad cop is he's either a thick red line or he's not. And that's how you're going to know that you got an untrustworthy person. Is they're not, if they're not willing to say no to the politicians, then you need to get a new, they need to get a new line of work, or, you need to vote the sheriff out or vote the town council out and get a town council that will force the department to go thick red line.
Very interesting. So when I think about everything you've just presented, my next thought is just imagining the inertia of the government and all the programs and all the people and all the beliefs that we have about the way the world should be, right? And it can be hard to imagine what the next steps we could take to create a society that is truly more free. And I think you've just outlined one of those tactics, which is an interesting one, of not necessarily defunding the police, but essentially having the police stand up to the government and say that, we're not going to prosecute victimless crimes, right? That's a place to start. Do you see that as perhaps the fundamental, I don't know what the metaphor is, but like the domino, like, would that be like one of the primary domino that we could tip to unravel everything else? Or, are there other ideas or tactics that you've considered that would maybe be more effective?
Well, the main thing is really helping people understand that there's a man behind the curtain in the media. And once people in the government, and then once people understand that the government is using the same techniques as the Nazis and the Soviets, and that the media is being, controlled, whether it's the old stream media or Facebook, Twitter, once they understand how the magician does the trick, it's very, very hard for them to get fooled again. Okay. And so once you realize, like, nobody likes to get chumped, right? Nobody likes to be a chump. And so once you realize what's going on, you're not going to be fooled again by the government and its monopoly media puppets, right? And so that's a revolution that's only going in one direction. I've never met anybody that I've sold thousands of copies of the book. I've had 10,000 plus downloads of the PDF, et cetera. And once somebody figures it out, I've never met anybody that goes back to believing in something goes back to believing in government or trusting CNN or Fox or whatever, once they really have an understanding of the system. And so, if everybody, just learn the basics and educated five more people and had them educate five more people. And that's some of the advice that we have in the book. And the book is full of solutions and you can download it for free at government-scam.com. Once you realize that it's been a scam, you're not going to get scammed again. And so that's what really gives me hope. And we live in the information age. There's no way to stop the signal. They're trying to block the signal. They're trying to shadow ban the signal. But the truth is getting out there. More and more people are waking up to the reality of their situation every single day. It's only going in one direction. We're going to win this. We're going to have liberty and we're going to have freedom in the country. And we're not just the country, but, once it falls here, and once we get rid of government in one place and you see it boom, like it's going to fall all over the world. All of these different countries are using the exact same playbook against their citizens, gubernare mente, mind control, control of the media. It's the exact same program in all the different countries. And once it gets exposed in one, it's going to, eventually we're going to spread it everywhere. These people are going to go to jail. They're controlled. Opposition mouthpieces on TV are going to be exposed. We're slowly and surely winning, and it's just a matter of time before we hit the tipping point. But you've got to get active. If you're listening to this, you have got to educate others. You've got to turn off the television. You've got to, quit believing, what National Public Radio or, the CNN or Fox News tells you. You've got to quit thinking that a political savior is going to save you. You're not going to win at the ballot box. If voting worked, they wouldn't let you do it. It's a scam. The whole thing is a scam. Don't vote to rob your friends and neighbors. This election season, the Republicans that come to you and they say, "Hey, vote for my guy, and he's going to rob everybody, and he's going to put these policies into place, these schemes, and these great ideas." And the Democrats say, "No, no, no, vote for my guy, and he's going to rob everybody, and he's going to put these schemes and ideas into place." And voluntarism is saying, "Hey, no, let's not rob anybody. You are the boss. You're in charge. You vote every day with your dollars. You vote. You get to pick. Not the politicians. You get to decide these issues." And so that, once people, realize that and they get empowered, I see us having economic prosperity and harmony and an end to warfare. It's going to be a very bright future. Unfortunately, there's going to be a transition period because we've been robbed. We've been robbed and impoverished, and it's going to take some getting out of it.
Yeah. So this is the part where psychologically there's definitely still a hurdle for me, right? Is it like, I feel aligned with a lot of what you've been describing. And then it comes to this, voting, right? There's a big election coming up. and there's a lot of attention placed on it, right? This, of course, in the media, it's like the big deal. And it used to be the big thing in the news before coronavirus, of course. Will you be voting in this election?
No, man. And I also don't play in crooked poker games. Like, why don't you go play in a crooked poker? If you know it's a rigged game and it's a scam, why would you go and participate in their scam? I mean, they're giving you a Hobson's choice, okay? For those of you who don't know the expression Hobson's choice, Hobson, old man Hobson ran a livery stable, and you could rent any horse in the stable as long as it was the black one on the end. And so they're giving you a fake choice between government A and government B, and either way you get government, you get mind control and scammed and whatever. Right. They're in on it together. You're not, like, the idea that there's any difference between Biden and Trump is ludicrous. It's a joke. It is the exact same program, just a little bit different, just to, you know, again, on some of the football issues, but, you know, Trump is playing along with it. Biden's playing along with this COVID thing. Like if they're wearing a mask, they're in on it, or they're dumb.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I definitely struggle with that. Right. Because it's something that I go back and forth with, you know, in my own mind of like, okay, well, you know, I'm not really a fan of either Trump or Biden, but then I'm like, okay, well, surely Biden would be a better president. But then going back to all of your points about, well, it's still government and all the problems that come with government, there's still that. But do you really think that there's no difference between Trump and Biden? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, they're both run and controlled by the exact same interests. If they're both going to institute essentially the same program, which is they make all the decisions and they force you to give them all your money. It's organized crime. They're puppets, they're figureheads. It's worldwide wrestling. And CNN and Fox, you know, they're covering every, you know, verbal suplex and body slam, but they're not going to tell you that the game is rigged and both of the wrestlers are run by the McMahons. It's literally just a television show. And, you know, there's not going to be any change, and they can get any candidate that they want in there. And they'll get you to vote for the lesser of two evils. So all they have to do is offer you a little bit of a lesser evil, or, you know, and then if an honest candidate gets in there, like Ross Perot, you know, they threatened his family and he dropped out, like, cause they'll kill you. And Ross Perot realized this is organized crime and I got to get out of this or they're going to hurt my family. Jeez. And so this, you know, this is, you're not going to win at the ballot box. You've got to get past that paradigm. You've got to go build the new world. You've got to, you know, separate yourself away from people that are trapped by the mental slavery of gubernamente, move to, you know, New Hampshire with the Free State Project, get organized, you know, get, and let's roll back government. Let's expose it. Let's stop the, you know, victimless crimes and stop the police using in violence and enforcement. And that's the way that you win, is you get educated and you don't fall for the scam. Government is illegitimate. You should not be voting to rob your friends and neighbors. As much as you think that Biden would be a better president because he would do X, Y, and Z,
right?
When you vote, you're essentially saying, hey, I'm so convinced that this guy is such a good guy and this is so important. It's the election of our lifetime that I'm sorry, but we just have to rob you. I know you're my friend and you're my neighbor and you disagree, but you have to be robbed, you know, to put this guy in, and this guy's got to steal all your money to do these things. And then it's going to fix everything. And no, it's not. And so as good as you think that Biden's policies are, you know, don't vote to rob your friends and neighbors that disagree. You know, the thing about voluntarism is I'm not advocating violence on anybody. You know, I'm not advocating that anybody be robbed to put any of these political schemes into practice. What I'm doing is I'm exposing the fact that it's illegitimate, and I'm explaining to people that the free market will produce all of the things, the legitimate things that government does, cheaper, faster, more effectively, without the violence, without 50% taxation, without rapidly depreciating fiat paper tickets as money, and that we could all be dramatically wealthier as long as people quit trying to force their dumb political views on their friends and neighbors through the ballot box. That's the thing you don't want to do. Don't vote to rob your friends and neighbors this election season. Expose the rigged game to your friends and neighbors.
Interesting. So I want to expand on this concept of, you know, this claim that, you know, taxation equals robbing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, most people were like, when they think of taxes, it's like, oh, well, yeah, this is like, you know, essentially the fee for participating in a civilized society where we have roads and firefighters and police and all this stuff, right, that we get with a government, right? So, you know, is there a good side at all to taxes, or is it all just negative and should be totally scrapped in your perspective?
It's all negative because it's immoral. So right off the bat, if you're stealing money from people, if I come to you and I say, Cosmo, I've got this great idea for this retirement program, you know, you're going to put in this percentage and your employer is going to put in this percentage, and you go, yeah, that's not, I'd rather invest in, you know, gold or silver or some other kind of asset or whatever, and I really don't think it's a good idea. And you're like, no, but you just don't understand, Etienne. It's like, it's such a good idea that you've just got there, you know, socialism or ideas that are so good that, you know, you've just got to be forced to participate in them. And so if you're not able to convince that the way that you know that an idea is a crappy idea is because somebody with a gun has to force you to participate in it. That's how you know that an idea is a crappy idea, that you have to be forced into it. And so with roads, there would still be roads. They would be built. Like when a housing development gets built, the property developer would be expected to build the roads because he's building it, and it would be capitalized into the cost of the home and the development or whatever. And then the homeowners association would maintain it. If Walmart or, you know, some other company wanted to build a store or a factory, well, part of that is building the road to the store or the factory. There were turnpikes in the country before there was a federal government. There were private roads, private turnpikes. Mm-hmm. There were community associations that built roads. I forgot the state. It was either Idaho or Ohio, but in one day, like, thousands of farmers came together across one state and built like a road across the state. So the idea that there wouldn't be roads without government is, you know, is proven false by the fact that there were roads before government.
Sure.
There would be, you know, I already gave you the example of the police with the fire department. Right. The idea that insurance companies, so without, you know, the government, like the idea that – so insurance companies would provide fire service, and, you know, the idea that they would – that a bank or, or somebody would loan you money for a house without guaranteeing that there's fire, you know, that the chance it's going to burn down is reduced. The insurance companies would provide fire services. You know, communities could provide fire services. A lot of companies today, private companies, have their own fire department on site at their factories, refineries, whatever it is. And then they go and help in the community if it happens. So there's so many different ways that these are provided. But what happens is that most people don't have a background in economics. They don't have a background in understanding the free market, because the government has dumbed down their education and made sure that they've only really thought, well, how would we, you know, do that if it wasn't for the God government providing it? And what they've been stuck with is a guy that it'd be like a guy that comes by your house and mows your lawn, whether or not you want him to or not, and then shows up to your door and goes, I'll pay $250.
Charges you for it. And you're like,
yeah. Oh, and you're like, well, wait a minute.
No, I didn't order that.
I didn't order that. Wait a minute. Well, hey, dude. Yeah. I just mowed your lawn, though. You know, I mean, it's pay up. So, like, once you realize, you know, how we got into this predicament and what they're doing, you realize the unfairness, the illogical nature. Mm. And so, you know, like all these services would be provided and they would be, it would be cheaper and they would be better. And, you know, you would, you know, like I said, you know, if the, if they're rude to you, then you, the, you know, like instead of your retirement, like everybody's, you know, everybody's retirement's been forced into this overvalued stock market by government rules and regulations, and people are prohibited from investing in other assets that might provide them a better rate of return, or other, you know, things that might provide a better rate of return. And so, and I got, I mean, I hate to tell people, but there is a file cabinet at the at a Social Security office in West Virginia that has over $2 trillion worth of government bonds. And so every time that what the government's been doing is they've been taking the Social Security lockbox and they've been handing it to the other side of the government that then puts it out the door to these military industrial complex companies for weapons that we don't need and wars based on lies and manufactured intelligence. And when they, and then they print up the bond on a laser printer in West Virginia. You can go look this up for yourself. And now, at the last time that I looked, it was over $2.3 trillion of bonds that aren't really like a corporate bond, which is tied to a profit-making enterprise that has, an actual asset that has the ability to pay it back. A government bond is just a worthless IOU that the government is going to have to either tax you to pay back, cut your benefits, or a combination of both. So it's the exact same options the government would have had if there wasn't a bond, and they just keep stealing your retirement and putting it in, you know, putting these bonds into this, you know, file cabinet. It's a very nice file cabinet. It's fireproof and it's got like combination lock on it. And Bush Jr. Actually went and posed with it. Bush Jr. actually went and posed with it. And there's pictures of him going, you know, this is going to be bad. And it's going to be, you know, I mean, it's going to be like the end of the movie Dumb and Dumber when the, you know, the briefcase, you know, pops open and there's all these worthless IOUs and, you know, and this one's for, you know, $1 billion. Well, don't want to lose that.
There's something almost, it's like comically silly about it. And in a very disturbing way, for sure. So it sounds okay. So if I understand you correctly, you're advocating that people shouldn't vote because voting, participating in the voting is essentially saying that you agree with, you know, the government, quote unquote, robbing people. Right. But I don't think you're advocating for people to just sit back and do nothing. What would you say are some tangible actions that people could take that would move us in a direction of a healthier society?
So, I mean, the main one is you've got to educate yourself. And so I make, you know, the odds are so, you know, the importance of it is I make the book available for free at government-scam.com. But you really got to wake up, you know, five friends and neighbors and you know, family members, and you've got to get them to wake up five friends and just continue the cycle. And if everybody did that, we'd have this thing won in no time flat, and it's free and it's easy to do. And I make all the evidence and, you know, documentaries. You've got to become a scholar of, you know, what happened. And I know that that's hard because people, you know, the government's got a lot of people working two jobs and they've got you on the hamster wheel and, you know, people don't have like a lot of time. You got to turn off the television. You know, you like they're mindlessly entertaining you. They're using all kinds of tricks from constant motion to sexually attractive people to monkey vision celebrity to keep you kind of glued to the set. You've got to take action in your own community, community gardens. You've got to, you know, because this is, you know, the potential for there to be a dollar collapse or a dollar devaluation as they make these multi-trillion dollar bailouts and stimulus. You've got to get your local businesses back to work. So you've got to ensure, you know, the lockdown. You can go get your local police officer thick red line. You can, you know, go and meet with your local sheriff or your local police chief and say, hey, we want to support you against the politicians. We're behind you to tell the politicians no, to enforcing these victimless crimes. You've got to, you know, go get your local police officer and say, hey, I want you to be thick red line. Why aren't you thick red line? You know, these are all things that you can do that would kind of help the situation. And you've got to get active. Don't waste your time in politics. Don't waste your time in a rigged game. Don't play in a crooked poker game. Don't vote to rob your friends and neighbors. Do not send your kids to the government school. There's a hidden curriculum. So my book breaks down the hidden curriculum of the government school system. You do not want the government to educate your kids. I assure you, you do not want the government to educate their kids. Don't take the government's mandatory shots. Don't take the government's mandatory vaccines. Don't believe anything that the monopoly media companies tell you. Go find the authentic voices on the self-directed internet while they're still there. I have got a slew of alternative, the best of the alternative media in the back of the book. Support them with your dollars. Support them on Patreon. If you like Cosmo, support him on Patreon so that he has the resources to continue bringing you voices that you're not going to hear on the monopoly media. Support freedom artists. You've got to mm-hmm. vote with your dollars. If you're getting it for free, then there's a reason that somebody is giving it to you for free frequently.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, I think we should wrap this up soon, but where can people learn more about your work? I know you've mentioned your website, and there's a bunch of information on there.
Government-scam.com. The solution, investigation into who's behind the plandemic is government-scam.com/plandemic. If you Google the mm-hmm. Art of Liberty Foundation, you can find out, you can get our executive summary and find out about our capital raise. We're trying to raise around $3 million to widely expose this in a single state, New Hampshire. And we think if we can win in one mm-hmm. state, and we can stop the order followers from using violence on their friends and neighbors and raising revenue on their friends and neighbors, and we can get one state to go in the opposite direction and to get rid of this tyranny, we think it would be impossible for all the other states to ignore. The media wouldn't be able to hide the fact that New Hampshire is seceding and saying it's a scam and we're not going along with it, or that some percentage of people in the state are like, we're not paying taxes, we're not withholding taxes for our employees anymore, and we're building a laboratory of liberty where we can test privatization of police and fire and community services, so that people are doing it, are having voluntary agreements instead of giving a monopoly on violence to the worst in society. And so you can search for Art of Liberty Foundation, and we've got an executive summary that you can read about what we're trying to do. But most of it is at government-scam.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you breaking all this down for us. And it's clear that you've put in a lot of time and research into putting all this, all these documents together. I don't know if we necessarily agree on everything, but I definitely would say that a lot of what you presented here resonates with me in a deep way. And yeah, I encourage people, if you're curious or just want to learn more about what's really going on here, take a look at the PDF that Etienne has put together. But yeah, thank you so much for joining here today.
Thanks for having me, Cosmo. Tell Summer I said hello and sorry I missed her.
Of course. So we will be back in a few weeks on October 9th at 1 o'clock Pacific with Jasmine Cable, the community manager of the Buckminster Fuller Institute. Should be an awesome conversation. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share a link to your friend at alifeeconomy.com. Otherwise, have a wonderful week and thank you so much for listening. Bye.